Good morning, and welcome again to Mornings for the Master, a program heard each weekday here on TGRN, the Gospel Radio Network. I hope that you're availing yourselves to this program and others here to provide spiritual nutrition for you each day. And again, sometimes we don't consider the impact and the need for this type of work. We, from time to time, hear from brethren around the world that are tuning in some places. We talked to brethren recently in an African nation, and they had talked about the need for this because of the shortage of teachers and materials in their area. And this is very important, they noted, to their edification. And so what a blessing it is to be able to fellowship with those brethren around the world on the Gospel Radio Network. Now, Mornings for the Master, as we noted, is heard each weekday, and it is at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And this, like our other programs, are repeated on a 12-hour cycle, so it can be heard again at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and our programs are then archived into the on-demand section of the TGRN website, where you can go and pull up programs you might have missed or programs you want to hear some more of for further study. Now, here on Mornings for the Master, you have a different host each day, and you have a different course of study for each day. Now, on our Thursday program here, we are currently studying Paul's second letter to Timothy. And we are now into the middle of that study, and I hope that you will join us the rest of the way, that you'll stay with us for a few minutes today as we further our look. And remember, you can go back and pull up previous editions of our Thursday show, or perhaps you've missed some of the Friday programs or Wednesday programs, and you can go back and pull them up. Now, at this time in our study of 2 Timothy, we are in chapter 2. And this morning we're going to look at verses 20 through 26 with the idea of being useful for the Master. Paul continues to impart to young Timothy information that will serve him as a minister of the gospel of Christ. And it is imperative that we are useful for our Lord, and that we will be good and fruitful servants. So let's consider our text now. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 26. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So, are we going to be useful to our Lord? Let's consider that today. Now, to motivate Timothy toward faithful service, his mentor, the beloved Apostle Paul, would use an illustration involving vessels. Now, it would involve varying qualities and different values. Notice verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Now, how could one be a vessel for honor? How can a person be a vessel that is prepared for every good work? Notice verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So notice that the person who is prepared for every good work is described as sanctified and useful for the master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can grow ourselves to become useful for the master. Now, by considering the context of our text verses today, we can note that we also, along with Timothy, can learn how to be vessels of gold or silver, useful, not like wood or clay. We can be vessels for honor and not dishonor. And when we do this, we become useful for the master. But we need to understand, it involves effort. But this is necessary if we are going to be prepared for every good work, so that first and foremost, we can be useful for the master. We must work on our personal conduct. We find that as we work on our personal conduct, there are things that we are to avoid. Paul said that we need to cleanse ourselves from the latter. Notice verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. We want to avoid becoming the opposite of a vessel of honor, which would be a vessel of dishonor. Verse 20 says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. You see, we can become vessels of dishonor, like those two teachers of false doctrine, Hymenaeus and Philetus. In addition, Paul instructs us to flee from youthful lust. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We must avoid and flee the lust of the flesh, such as fornication. Remember what Paul told the brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18? Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. We will not only flee the lust of the flesh, but we will flee from the lust of the eyes and things such as materialism. In his first letter to Timothy, in chapter 6, notice verses 9 through 11. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some, having strayed from the faith, in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So it is essential then, if we're going to be useful for our master, that we will avoid both wicked companions and wicked conduct. Now, as we've noted, there are things to avoid, but there are also things that we must do. Paul said that we must pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. These are qualities without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Paul speaks of qualities that are well suited for the man of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul said to Timothy, "But you, O man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." This is found with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In our text, notice verse 22. "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Now together, this is with those who sincerely love God, such as these are not alone, nor will they be in the company of those vessels of dishonor that Paul speaks of. It is important, as mature Christians, that we seek both holy conduct and holy associations, proper company. But now we must understand that avoiding wicked associations certainly does not mean that we do not reach out to those in error, but instead we avoid their ways. The Lord desires for all men to be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 4, "Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, qualities that are well suited for the man of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, once again, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." Now this is with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. As verse 22 pointed out, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness." 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So, if we are going to be useful for the Master in teaching others, then it is essential that we work on our relationships. There are things Paul instructs us that we are to avoid, just like Timothy. We are to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Verse 23, "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife." These foolish and ignorant disputes the byproduct is strife. And no good comes from that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul told Timothy not to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Again, 1 Timothy 6, 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions. This is not what is found in the useful servant of the master. These are the things that bring ruin to the hearers. Verse 14 in chapter 2 says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. These type of things destroy oneself. They bring ruin. These will not be found in the useful servant of the master. He also warned Titus in chapter 3 and verse 9, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. They are things that increase one to more ungodliness. Verse 16 in chapter 2 says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. The servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome. Verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. That is to strive or fight over words. Again, verse 23. A useful servant of God is going to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Thayer defined it as to engage in a war of words, to quarrel, to wrangle or dispute. We must avoid discussions that turn into a little more than just word battles. There is nothing profitable. They cause strife and lead to problems and distract one from the word, the proper use of the word. And so, just as there are things that the servant of the Lord will avoid, there are things that we must do. And in building those relationships with others, we must be gentle to all. Verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must be not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Strong's described it as affable. That is one mild or kind. Gill said that it is not only to troubled minds and wounded consciences by supplying them with the precious promises and truths of the gospel, and to backsliders by restoring them in a spirit of meekness. But even to those who contradict the truth, and themselves by mild and kind instructions. It said the servant of the Lord must be able to teach in verse 24. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Thayer said they should be apt and skillful in teaching. So the servant of the Lord is able to both exhort and to convict those who contradict. Listen to what Paul told Titus in chapter 1 and verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. We must develop and demonstrate patience in developing our relationships with others to be able to be useful to the Lord. Look at verse 24 again. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Thayer said, patient of ills and wrongs, forbearing. Albert Barnes said the Greek word here used does not elsewhere occur in the New Testament. It means patient under evils and injuries. Patience is certainly a Christ-like quality that will be needed when one seeks to engage you in meaningless word battles. Colossians 3 and verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We must correct in humility. Verse 25, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. Thayer said that is with gentleness, mildness, meekness. And this is employed even against those who oppose the truth, those who are ensnared by the devil himself. For these qualities are powerful weapons that are considered mighty in God. Consider 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Now, I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence, by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's not carnal, to not carnal is the staying away from things such as wrath and anger and strife. But having those qualities that are mighty for casting down arguments, bringing thoughts into captivity to Christ. And so, we must develop and demonstrate a Christ-like character toward the opposition. So let's remember, a servant of the Lord must therefore give careful attention to his personal conduct and his associations with others. Careful attention to his interpersonal relations with those in error. The servant of the Lord who does this then can become a vessel of honor. They will be sanctified, one who is set apart for a godly purpose, and be useful to the master. What kind of vessels are we becoming for the Lord? Let us seek to be vessels of honor that will be useful for the Master. I want to thank you for joining me today. A little shorter today than normal, but I don't want to go into chapter 3 today, so we will do that next week. If the Lord wills, we'll begin to look at chapter 3. I hope you'll join me. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it'll be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Be sure and tune in tomorrow with Preston McElyea as your host, and remember to stay tuned throughout the day for the programs here on the network. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long. Have a great day, and may God bless you.